All right, if you have your Bibles, Jude, the book of Jude, which is right before Revelation. So, this is a sermon that I got on firefighting, and let me just give you a little background, a little bit on my connection to the firefighting side of life. About 15 years ago, there was a flood on the Monongahela River, and I was pastoring down in Charleroi, and the Monongahela River had risen, and everyone that was in the town of Charleroi, the river was coming up through the sewage and flooding all of the basements of the buildings and the homes. For some reason, the fire department picked our church to bring in their 7 big pumps, and they were pumping the water out of the basement of our church as fast as it was coming in. And so while every other building in Charleroi got their whole basement was flooded to the first floor and beyond, we only got about 2 feet. We have no idea why the fire department picked our church. We had no connection. There were other churches. I guess the Lord just said, I'm going to help you out. And so they did help us out. And we said, let's honor the firefighters for helping. And so they came to a service, and we honored them just much like we did here today. And I became good friends with one of the chiefs of one of the fire departments, and his name was Sean Whiteden. And he was a great, we got together a lot. He was a wonderful guy. And he not only was chief of the Stockdale Fire Department, but he was an EMS, and he did training across the state of Pennsylvania. And he trained many fire departments on firefighting, and we had a great friendship. 7 years ago, Sean Whiteden died in serving as a fireman. So I had his funeral 7 years ago at the age of 49, and 200 fire departments showed up. Now, I went back and I looked. I wanted to see if Adams Township, but I didn't take a picture of all 200 fire departments that came. There was like 400 fire trucks that came for his funeral. I did have a picture of Cranberry Fire Department was there because he had trained so many departments. It was the largest funeral I'd ever done. 1,200 firefighters showed up for that funeral to pay honor to. So it's like Memorial Day. I know it's for vets that have given their lives, but there are first responders who give their lives as well. So this is a message on firefighting. And I'm going to use an analogy between what God calls the church to do and what firefighters do. And so the passage is found in the book of Jude. This is the book that's right before the last book in the Bible in Revelation. And this was written by the apostle Jude. And he writes to the church, he says, "But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire." It's verse 23 that hits me in God's word. Save others from the fire. Save others by snatching them from the fire. Now, it sounds like that God is calling everyone to be a volunteer at the Adams Township Fire Department. But in the context of the book, this isn't talking about like a house fire. This fire that it's talking about is the fires of hell. And I know it's not a very popular topic. There are a lot of churches now that are trying to say there is no hell, there is no fire. And I guess my response to that is I wish someone had told God the Father that, because he could have spared sending Jesus to the cross to suffer hell in our place for our sins. Someone should have told God, "Hey God, we decided there is no hell. You don't have to send Jesus to die on the cross because we're all going to heaven." So someone forgot to inform God that fact. I find that the physical world often mirrors the spiritual world. So it's just as fantasy to say there are people who are like, hey, I don't want to believe in hell. But that would be like saying, I don't believe there's a house that catches on fire and that people die in fires in homes. That's too awful. I can't believe that happens. I'm going to block that out of my mind. Well, you can try to block it out of your mind, but unfortunately, it does happen. So God is calling the church to be involved in spiritual firefighting, just as men and women are called to be part of the Adams Township Fire Department. So I kind of like this illustration, because I view Jesus as the first firefighter. So he came to fight to save us from going to hell so that we can go to heaven. And all firemen, I kind of see that they all follow that same noble calling as the Son of God himself. While people are running from the fire, they're running to the fire and risking their lives, often laying down their lives in order to save someone from a burning house. And it's like, that's it. You are doing exactly the same thing that Jesus came to do. You know, you probably follow, even more than a preacher, follow kind of in the footsteps of the Savior. Well, that verse says to save, let me go back to the verse here, save others by snatching them from the fire. Well, it kind of sounds like, are you saying they're already in the fire? Do we save them out of hell somehow? And I want to illustrate it by, I want you to pretend that this building is the senior citizen high-rise building in Mars, and you live on the 10th floor, and it catches on fire, and the fire's coming up, first floor, second floor, it's a towering inferno, it's on the 10th floor, it's coming through your living room, your dining room, your kitchen, you open up your balcony door, and you get out on your balcony, and you shut the door. Now we're going to take a vote here. How many of you say you're in the fire? Raise your hand. Okay, about 10 of you. How many of you say, I'm not in the fire, don't worry about me? Raise your hand. So for the 10 of you that raised your hand, let me help out all the rest of you that didn't. The 10 of you who raised your hand, this is what you do. Fire department, you gotta save me, I'm in the fire, bring that fire truck, now 10 stories, how high can a ladder go from a fire department? Can you get up 10 stories? Can you? Or do you have to jump into one of those trampolines? So the 10 of them, the fire truck comes and rescues them, and they're saved. The rest of you that are out on the balcony, what are you doing? Did you bring marshmallows, dear? Do we have a steak? We have a good fire going right here. I mean, are you debating whether you're in the fire and need to be saved or not? People spiritually that don't know Jesus, they're on the balcony of hell's fire. They're not there, but they're on the balcony. And they need the church to bring the gospel fire truck and the gospel ladder to reach people for the Lord. And in the United States, more and more people need Jesus than ever before. Now, here's a guy I'm going to get back to him. Here's a guy that's on a balcony that the firefighters are going to save. This just happened in the last couple years. He has a stroke because of the fire, so he cannot get down, and so they have to carry him down the ladder to save his life. And I will get back to that in a bit. So I want to give you a little bit of history of firefighting, because you'll understand the parallel with the church. So long ago, they used to fight fires with is it Gary? Was it Gary where are you, Gary? Okay. When Gary started, when he was just a small kid, living in the Mars area probably, he lived in a one-room log cabin home with his family. How many brothers and sisters did you have, Gary? Two. Very small family. Most of the people had 10, 12, 20 kids those days. But only two. And so right next to their door was a bucket for Gary's dad, mom, Gary, and your brother or sister? Oh, two brothers. So three. Gary, brother. Okay. And so when the bell would be rung that there was a fire in Mars, everyone would grab their bucket, they would go out, and they would form what is known as the Bucket Brigade. Gary, you know what a Bucket Brigade is, right? All right, but anyone 50 and under doesn't. They have no idea what that is. Everyone would have a bucket, and they would form lines. Every person had to help out. They would form lines to the nearest lake, river, pond. Where did you form your line to, Gary? What river or lake did you? Did you go to the Break Your Neck River? It got that name from people breaking their necks on the Bucket Brigades. So Gary was a rebellious teenager. And one day he came home and the fire went off, the bell, and Gary went, I'm not going. I'm going to eat a TV dinner in my log cabin microwave, and I'm not going to go fight. Well, that night there was a meeting in Marsboro, and Gary was brought before the mayor. And the mayor said, look, Gary, when there's a fire, everyone helps out. This is a Bucket Brigade. Everyone has to do their part. And they did public flogging back then. You'll have to talk to me later. Talk to Gary about that. Now, as time went on, they developed... Oh, there's Gary. He's the guy up the ladder with the last bucket. I don't know how much water actually made it to the fire. And the women and children would take the empty buckets back to the Break the Neck River. So then they developed pumpers. And they would pump the water. Instead of throwing a bucket, they would shoot the water on. But they still had to use the Bucket Brigade to fill the pumper with water. But eventually, so everyone had to help. That was called the Bucket Brigade Fire Department. But eventually, this guy comes along, and he starts the first volunteer fire department. So for $1 million, who is this man, and where was the first volunteer fire department? The buzzer went off. None of you win. Too bad. Does anyone know now? Benjamin Franklin in Philadelphia. If you had only been 5 seconds earlier, you would have... So Benjamin Franklin says, hey, all you people, stay home. We're only going to use a select group of volunteers to fight fires now. And then, like if you're in Pittsburgh, they have paid professional firefighters that go to firefighting college, and they live at the fire department, okay? Well, it turns out that churches are just, so you have three different types of fire departments. You got bucket brigades, you got volunteer, and you got paid professional. Churches can be the same way. You have some churches that are bucket brigade spiritual firefighting churches, and that's where everyone's serving and using their gifts and talents and praying and giving and helping and you know, on fire for the Lord. And then you got the volunteer churches. That's where 20% of the people do 90% of the work in the church. The role of the other 80% in the church are to criticize and critique the 20% that are doing all the work. Okay, you know that. And then you have the paid professionals. That would be the staff. That's like the pastors have to do it all. So I do want to praise the Lord. I wasn't sure where LifePoint Alliance was, but when we appreciate all the volunteers, I was amazed that I think we're very close to being a Bucket Brigade church. By the way, which church do you think actually grows? The Bucket Brigade Church, the Volunteer Church, or the Paid Professionals? The Bucket Brigade. Very good. All right. In order to be an effective firefighter, whether spiritually in reaching people for Jesus or fighting fires in homes, firemen have to get training. So here's the verse, verse 20. So verse 23 is save others by snatching them from the fire. Verse 20, but you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith. So the way we build up our faith is by the Word of God. Our training manual, believers, I got to find it, is the Word of God. This is, I'm sure firefighters have training manuals, but this is our training manual because faith comes from hearing and hearing from the Word of God. So that's why you get all kinds of training in the Word of God, to build ourselves up so we can be an effective church for the Lord. But I want to share something with you. I want to share the problem that I notice among the church, especially. And I have to share this story. Here is a young boy, teenager, who wants to become a volunteer firefighter. Now, how old do you have to become a volunteer firefighter in Adams? 14. Can't do a whole lot. Okay. Well, all right, we're going to make him 13. When he was born, his dad didn't put a football into his arms. He put a fire truck into his arms. And so he has been waiting to be a firefighter. And he's at 13? 14. On his 14th birthday, he is at the Adams Township Fire Department signing up. And he is just so excited. You can't. And they put on his uniform, and just as they put it on, the alarm goes off. There's a fire in Mars. And so he's, now, back in those days, firefighting was exciting. He got to ride on the back of the truck. He would hold a pole, and all the firefighters were around the trucks. Now they have to be in 10 seatbelts. But back in those days, they could go on the side, and you would have three times as many firemen. Of course, they fall off, but... So he's excited. He said, look at me, look at me. I finally made it. I'm a firefighter. You know, as they're going by the high school, and the fire truck pulls up into the front yard. The house is on fire. A woman comes running out of the house just as they're getting off the truck. And the woman is shouting, save my baby. My baby is in the house. So who can tell me who is the first one to run into the house to save the baby? It isn't Gary. That's what he said, Gary. Nice try. And that's too bad because you would have won a big... I always think the answer is so obvious. The kid! Of course, he goes running in. Now I'll get to you. Okay. The chief then says, Gary, go save the kid and the baby. So Gary says, hey, bring me the equipment. And I don't know what it is. I always say oxygen, but I don't think it's whatever. They put some kind of equipment on with a mask. And Gary goes in. There's the boy passed out. Puts him over. And he gets the baby and saves the day. Now, let me ask you a question. What did Gary know or have that this young guy didn't have? Training. Experience training. But... what does this kid have that Gary's kind of lost a little bit over 52 years? Enthusiasm. So here's what the Bible says in Proverbs. Proverbs, it says, it's not good to have zeal without knowledge. You need to have both. And I imagine, at least the firefighters that I know, they tend to be all very zealous for fighting fires. They kind of like... breathe, and they just kind of love it. But you need to have both. You need to have, like, training, but you also need that zeal of, yeah, I want to go. I want to help. I want to, you know, I want to fight that fire. I want to help that family. I want to rescue the person out of that burning car, whatever. So you got to have both. And I notice in the church, you need to have both as well. I think a lot of Christians have lots of training. You got 30 years worth of training, but sometimes I wonder if you've lost the zeal to share the faith. I got this off the internet. Is number 42 a pumper truck? I figured that was your 42nd fire truck. Okay. So is that a pumper truck? Okay, good. So if you look at the verse again... it says, but you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in the most holy faith, that's the training that all firefighters get. And then it says, and praying in the Holy Spirit. So what a pumper truck is, the pumper truck is what they connect to the fire hydrants to pump the water on the fire. And it often has a reservoir tank of water in it. Maybe they go somewhere there's no fire hydrants, so the pumper truck has 1,000 gallons of water or whatever. How many thousands of gallons of water does your pumper truck have? 500. They're much better at putting out fires now. So it has a supply to kind of start it out. You can imagine it would be very difficult if the firemen showed up and the pumper truck was not there. Then they would have to try to put the fire out using shovels. And that's very difficult, okay? Here's my analogy. What water is to putting out fires and rescuing people is what prayer is to the church. If you don't have a pumper truck, you're in trouble. You're not going to be as effective, and you need prayer. Our church, we need to be a church of prayer, praying for the Lord to reach people for Him. All right, I got to close here. Here's the old fire department in some little town. So when I drive around Western PA, I go through little towns, and I see little fire departments that have, like, closed down. And usually it only has one garage. And I love antiques. If you look inside, there's an old pumper truck inside. And I picture two old-time firefighters sitting on a bench outside of that old fire department. And they're talking about the glory years. Like, oh, do you remember when we fought? Millie's barn was on fire and we saved the cattle. And do you remember when we helped, you know, Billy out of his house? And oh, you know, they're just, but that's the old days. It's done. They didn't get enough volunteers and the fire department closes down. And they pull out the fire truck once a year for the annual parade. It's kind of a sad sight. And then you go down the street and there's an old church. And it's almost fallen down and it's neglected and hasn't been painted or upkept. And there's two old timers sitting outside that church and they're going, do you remember when our church used to be full and we had people and we were praising the Lord and reaching people? And it was so exciting, but now it's like gone and died. Listen, LifePoint Alliance, I don't want to be that church. I want to be the church that's just as alive and exciting as we were long ago. And it's kind of interesting that, this church started downtown Mars, and we moved out to 228. I don't know why it took you so long. To the fire department. We discovered 228 is where you want to be. So welcome to our highway. So what's interesting is downtown Mars, the old fire department's for sale. So it's like that, and it's got to be sad, I'm sure, for some, although that new fire department's pretty nice. But it's kind of sad, and what's interesting is right across the street from the fire department that's for sale was a church, and it had a fellowship hall, and now that church is apartment buildings because somewhere that church died off. And it's kind of like, I don't want to see that happen to our church or to our fire department. Well, I got to close, so I'm going to close with this. I have to tell you a story real quick. My wife and I lived in Denora, and we would get letters from the Denora Fire Department asking for financial support. And I would promptly file those letters in the bin under my desk. Until one Halloween day, some kids in our neighborhood took pumpkins, it was a plastic bag, and you would stuff it with leaves, and it would be a big pumpkin. Someone took that pumpkin, put it on our porch, and set it on fire. And so our porch is on fire. We're eating dinner with our kids inside of our kitchen, and we have no idea that the front of our house is on fire. The neighbors see it, they call the fire department. The fire department comes and is putting out our front porch when the firemen come to our door. And I'm like, we're eating. I'm like, hey, why are you here? And they're like, your house is on fire. So our neighbors were good in calling the fire department, but they never actually came to our door to tell us. Do you know that after that, I felt like maybe I should help out the fire department by giving? There's nothing like having your own experience to realize, hey, I guess they are needed, whether it's the police, the EMS, or the fire department. You don't think about it until something happens, right? Well, this is me. Not me, literally, but long ago, I was on the balcony of hell's fire. I did not know God. I wasn't walking with Jesus. I was literally just doing my own thing and causing a wreck out of my life in college. And some spiritual Christian firefighters came and shared the gospel with me. And I met Jesus. I knew I was saved from the eternal fires. And I have been so appreciative ever since for the church and for Jesus Christ. I want to close, and I want to ask everyone this question, which is, do you know that you've been taken off the balcony of hell's fire? Do you know that if something happened to you, like Sean Whiten, I am so glad he found the Lord in my church, because at 49 years old, he was gone. So it was so good to do his funeral because I knew he was in heaven. Do you know that you're going to heaven, that you know Jesus? So let's bow our heads and close our eyes. And I'm not going to embarrass anyone. You're not going to come forward. Nothing weird is going to happen. You're not joining the church. But if you're here this morning and you've never personally given your heart to Jesus Christ, he is ultimately the numero uno chief of all firefighters. He came and laid down his life on the cross to save us from our sins, that we can have eternal life. But he doesn't force that. We all have to make a decision to allow Jesus to be our Savior. And so I'm going to pray a prayer out loud, and I want to invite you to pray along with me silently. And if you've never given your heart to Jesus, you can make this the morning that you're rescued from the balcony. So I'll pray out loud, you pray silently. Lord Jesus, I confess I'm a sinner and I do my own thing, but I want to repent. I open the door of my heart. I ask that you would forgive me of my sins that separated me from you. Jesus, I want you to come into my heart to be my Lord and my Savior. I want to live for you this day forward. Thank you for rescuing me from the balcony of hell's fire. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I would like to pray a blessing over those who prayed that prayer along with me. So no one's looking. If you pray that prayer with me, I'd like you to just slip your hand up, and then after I see it, put it down. Say, Pastor, I prayed that prayer along with you. So God bless you. Anyone else? Just slip your hand up, and then after I see it, you can put it down. God bless you. Anyone else? I don't want to miss anyone. If you pray that prayer along with me, just slip your hand up and then put it down. So, okay. Father, God bless you. I see you in the back there. Father, I pray you would bless those that prayed that prayer in a special way for the first time, and may they really sense your presence in their life from this day forward. May you bless them in a special way. And Father, bless us as we close out our service and go to a meal together. In your name we pray. Amen.